See if we're on here. Oh, good, it's working. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone to worship here this morning, especially those who are guests. Good to have you here. Traveling here this morning, I thought I was traveling through a Victorian fog. I couldn't believe that. I was expecting some horrible thing to happen, but it turned out okay. Well, here we are. We're gathered on a Sunday morning, and here we are also on what I would call the cusp of a new year. Cusp of a new year. Boy, oh boy, are we on the cusp of a new year, right? A lot of things are changing. A lot of things are going to be different than they have been. And for some of you, that can be very disconcerting. And that's unfortunate. But here's the reality, folks. Things are always changing. Things are always changing. It doesn't stop. It never stops. So I like to think of change, in this case, as an opportunity rather than a difficulty or a problem. Change has some interesting effects for us, and we'll be dealing with that a little bit later. But what I want to do is I want to bring you up to date. This is kind of a housekeeping moment, if you will, and just let you know where we are and where things are going and what's on tap. First of all, minister search has begun. We are beginning that process. And the beginning of that process is forming a committee. Doesn't sound like how you begin a minister search, but it is. It's how you do that. So what we've got is, what we've got is maybe dead batteries here. It was there? Oh, there it is. This is our committee. I've got to move this over here. It's a little too close. All right, this is our committee. Everybody on this list has agreed to be part of the group, which means that we're going to be getting together. And I want you, first of all, to go to these people if you have questions. If you want to know what's going on, where we are, what we're up to now, please ask and talk to people. It's okay. It's quite a list, isn't it? It'd be interesting working with a lot of these people. So the questions that we have to ask ourselves, why do we need a committee to do this sort of thing? Why don't we just ask for resumes and start going through the resumes and just looking at things? Well, the reality is this. Whenever there's a change or transition, especially in leadership, it's also an opportunity. It's an opportunity to reevaluate what we're doing, how we're doing it, and why we're going about doing it. And we're going to take advantage of that. The committee's purpose is, first of all, going to be to discover or rediscover who we are. I don't know if you know this, but the group that was here in 2013, 2014 is different than it was, than it is now. Things have changed. People have come and gone. In fact, one of the first things we did, we've had one meeting, so you can't ask too many questions at this point because nobody knows a lot of answers. But we've had one meeting, and in the one meeting, I pointed out that in 2013, we had 127 members that were listed on our books. At this point, we have 155, and that's a conservative estimate because some people never get on the books. But 155 people who are regular attenders, which is great. It's marvelous. That's change. It means things have gone from one thing to another. It's a big deal. The other thing that we consider we want to talk about is, what do we want to be? What kind of church? What kind of a place do we want to be? Where do we fit in the community here? And that'll be part of our discussion. We're actually going to write up a sheet that'll we'll all agree on, and we'll say, this is the kind of church that we think we need to be. And that'll give us a sense of direction. Now, we know Matthew 28. Our big picture is to serve Jesus, to bring people to Christ, to continue to bring the gospel out to people. But the reality is that we have a role in the community also, and we have a need to reflect something. And so we need to define that so we don't go crazy, go willy-nilly. The third thing we'll be looking at is we need to describe the kind of ideal person we would like to have as our minister. As much as we would like to say that the person who's serving as a minister is just one of the members and part of everything, the reality is they become the face of the congregation in so many situations. And so we need to define what we expect, what we're looking for, what the education of the person could or should be. And what we're going to do is we're going to create an ideal person, okay? We're going to create in our minds all the characteristics that we think the person will need to be our minister. And then we're going to face reality. And the reality will, you know, in drawing a picture, at least we will have some ideas of what we're looking for. And then we will discuss and talk about the things that the characteristics that person needs to have. The other thing is, everybody has responsibilities, oddly enough, and especially a minister. And as a congregation, we're going to define some of those responsibilities and list them out and with purpose. And the reason is, you don't want a minister coming in here thinking that they're going to do this, and we ask them to do that. That's not a good thing. Everybody gets disappointed right away, so we're going to try to avoid that. We don't want surprises for them or for us. Not good. And the unfortunate last thing we do have to consider in all things is that we have a bottom line. We cannot afford probably that ideal minister that we're looking for. So we need to work within a budget. We have to define what that budget is and what we think we're willing to do. So that's where the committee is. That's what's going on in that stuff. All right, what's going to be happening up here in worship week to week? Very good question. And I have a couple of answers for you on that. I'll be up here a few times. We've got a couple people that we're talking to about coming up to speak. Some of the faces will be familiar, some will not. And that's okay. We'll take care of that too. That'll be good. We intend to continue our series on Matthew that Brian started in the month of December. We're going to continue studying through Matthew. Some speakers are not going to want to do a Matthew. They're going to want to do something else, and that'll happen. And that's okay. We'll be fine. And if you are willing to speak, this is my advertisement, or one of my advertisements for today. If you're willing to speak, let me know. I know that many of you are capable, and I will probably be approaching some people and asking if you will fill in for a Sunday or two. But if you're willing, if you want to volunteer, that'd be great. Volunteering doesn't happen very often, but anyway, I thought I'd bring it out. Next thing I need to let you know about. Sunday mornings, classes will continue. It doesn't mean that there's a breakdown in all the class and all the studies. But what's going to happen is we're going to continue with the Gospel Project. Now, here's the big advertisement for you guys. I sent out an email to about 15 people asking if they would fill in on some Sunday mornings teaching. My intent is this. If you see change as an opportunity, this is a great opportunity for you. You can have the opportunity to teach in a friendly, safe environment where the curriculum is laid out. If you've ever seen the Gospel Project curriculum, it's wonderful. You have choices. You can approach it in whatever way you want. You don't have to write everything yourself and create anything new. It is a very well thought out, very well put together process. So what's happening is you're going to see some new teachers in the Sunday school classes. Hopefully, you'll see a good number of new teachers of Sunday school classes, and you'll see some recurring teachers as time goes on. And just so you know, there may need to be people that need to be pushed a little bit. So some of you wives and significant others, it's okay. You know, if you need to tap somebody and say, you should be volunteering for class, that's okay. It's a good thing. Life groups. Life groups will continue as they have been. If life groups need curriculum, we have stuff that's available. So that should continue as time goes on. And if you're interested in starting a life group, this is a great time to do it. It's a time of change, and it can be tumultuous at times. But nonetheless, it's a good opportunity. And the final question that comes up, what about Wednesday nights? What are we going to do Wednesday nights, huh? Well, we're going to change some things. In the past, we have started Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're moving up to 6. 6 o'clock. Put that in your book, in your calendar, in your alarm, whatever you use. 6 o'clock. And at special request, starting this Wednesday, we're going to be looking at the book of Revelation. So if you've ever been interested, ever wanted to talk about, ever been curious about the book of Revelation, now's a good time to jump in. Now's a good time to do that. All right. I'm a notes person, so I take lots of notes. So I'm going to read some things, if you don't mind. Let's move out of this. That's all the housekeeping that I've got to take care of. Oh, boy, it's just really zipping around, isn't it? Okay. That's all the housekeeping that I have to take care of. So let's go into our lesson. In the 17th century, there was a sailing vessel in the Pacific Ocean, and it had a real tough journey. There was a typhoon, the ship was torn to pieces, and there was one survivor out of a whole group, one survivor. He clung to a wooden beam, floated along the ocean for a while, and ended up on a deserted island in the Pacific. Very tough time. Over the course of time, he was able to gather some things that floated from the ship off the shore, and he put together a very crude hut that he kept everything secure. He spent his time looking for food. He spent his time in prayer to God, asking for rescue. And he spent his time watching the horizon, looking for the ship that he thought and knew would be there soon. And it just, time went on. Time went on, and that was what his process was every day. One day, he came back from the search for food across the island, and he saw flames. His hut that contained everything that he owned was up in flames. It was burning. In fact, by the time he got there, the whole thing was destroyed. Black smoke. And for the first time, he thought everything was lost. And at that point, he stopped and he looked up and he prayed and cursed God, something he had never done in all the time he'd been lost. About 3 hours later, a ship arrives on the shore. About 3 hours later, the guy is rescued. And the captain says to him, "We saw your smoke signal. We saw your smoke signal." You've probably heard this story or a variation of it before. Good story. I don't know if it's true or not. But what we're dealing with here is change. The man was on a safe and secure ship for quite some time until it broke up. Things changed. He made it to shore. He lived. And things went along pretty well until his hut burned up. And God provided. And God provided in those last few minutes. Change is constant in our lives. And the question for all of us is, how are we going to view the things that happen? How are we going to adjust? How are we going to let those things affect us? It's very important because change happens so fast these days. Change happens so fast. Are you going to be anxious? Are you going to be worried? Are you going to find yourself just disgusted with all this mucking about? What a mess, right? Things are changing once more. Now what do we do? Or are you going to get excited? If you see change as an opportunity, then I think you'll adjust a lot better. I'm quoting from somebody, change can create anxiety because the familiar and the comfortable has been altered. And my goodness, do we love familiarity? Do we love comfort? But any time that is changed, altered by circumstances or events or whatever, it makes us unhappy. The reality is that we understand that in some degree, but we don't understand that fully. Howard Hendricks wrote that there are three stages to change: resistant to change, tolerant of change, and embracing change. It's a way to look at things. And if you look at the words, it's very interesting. Resistant to change is this, right? Your hands are up and you're defensive, right? Tolerant of change is, well, okay, I can put up with that. And embracing change is allowing it to be close to you and say, yes, change is good. Change is good. The point is this. Oftentimes when things are messed up for us, we've lost sight of the most important thing of all. We've lost sight of God. We've lost sight of the fact that God is still there and still working. We're so focused on ourselves, we can't see. And remember that the Bible over and over tells us that God isn't static. God is continuing to do what God is doing. God is working, and God is at work now, here, this morning, with us. Change is an opportunity. Change is an opportunity. Well, let's take a look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke, at the end, toward the end of Jesus' ministry, has a series of parables put together. And in the middle of this, we have this interesting encounter. It's a very different encounter than we're used to, because a lot of things interesting happen here. So let's just read the passage and then we'll talk about it. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." The context is this, guys. Zacchaeus was not a well-respected man in his community. I think today, well, he was a tax collector, but I think today we would say that he colluded with Rome. That's bad news. He's part of the bad guys. But here we see opportunity. You see, Jesus, as he's walking to Jericho, sees an opportunity in Zacchaeus, and he takes it. Jesus saw opportunity, and he took advantage of it. And now it is part of the story that we have. And we see another thing happening. Zacchaeus saw an opportunity. He could have refused to take Jesus to his home. That was an option. But he said, "No, I'm going to take advantage of this. This is an opportunity. Something can happen." And he rose to it. So what happens when we take advantage of opportunities? What happens when we're given options and we enjoy them? We go with them. Something simple, and yet at the same time, fascinating, because it is encompassing, and that is, we become transformed. You know, all the things that we're talking about are opportunities in the church body, opportunities in spreading the gospel, opportunities in speaking to people, and these things all become transforming to us if we approach him with the right attitude. Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus changed Zacchaeus in an incredible way. Well, we like to say, "Well, boy, that was Jesus, and he just did that to people." Well, I think something else is going on here. Zacchaeus had to be ready and willing to be changed to begin with. He had to be prepared to take on what the challenge was that Jesus was offering him. And he was. He was. He found something in Jesus that was true, that was authentic, and that was real. And that's very important. And to me, this message that I hear from this is that, look, Jesus doesn't come into our lives to make us miserable people. He doesn't come into our lives to make us sad. He doesn't come in to make us adhere to rules and laws. He comes in here in our lives to make us mature and complete, to make us the kind of people we need to be, to make us better. He comes here to change us. Oh, that word again. It keeps coming up. Transformation is all about change, and it's also about the process of change. In the early Christians were called members of the way. Members of the way. Part of the process of change is being on the way to the end. We are on the way to being transformed, and it's continuous. It is continuous. All right, let's look at another passage. This one, we don't have it up on the screen. That's okay. Let's go to John chapter 10. John, Gospel of John chapter 10. Well, the setting is this. Jesus has been talking with the Pharisees. I guess you could call it that, talking with the Pharisees, maybe confronting them. He just called them blind. Okay, they're a bunch of blind people. Spiritually, they are blind. And at this point in the time, John chapter 10, starting in verse 7, he has made a comparison between the good shepherd and the sheep and the relationship that goes on there. And starting in verse 7, it says this, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me.'" The Pharisees were people who thought they were doing everything they needed to be doing to follow God. The Pharisees built for themselves 600-something laws to make sure that they upheld the laws of Moses. They wanted to make sure that the wall was strong and that they were able to be followers of God. And Jesus said to them, "You are blind. You have not seen anything. You've not been listening. You've not been paying attention." And in the midst of this rebuke, this harsh criticism, he says something that I find fascinating. Let's take a look. In verse 10, "I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance." And when you read from the Amplified Bible, what it does is it takes a word and expands its meaning so that you can see it in different ways. And when he talks about abundance, it doesn't mean just to have a lot, but it means to the full and till it overflows. You see, Jesus' purpose is to make us people who overflow with the characteristics of God, who overflow with the love and the compassion, who overflow with the Holy Spirit. Not just so we can have it. We got it already. We were baptized. We had the Holy Spirit. The This is about abundance. This is about overflowing. This is about more. You see, when you take advantage of opportunities, whether it's serving, whether it's helping, whether it's adjusting to change, you leave yourself open to being full, full of the Spirit. What a wonderful thing that is, huh? Opportunities lead to transformation. Transformation leads to abundance. And abundance leads to overflowing. What happens also in transformation, what happens also in opportunity, is you begin to see things differently. At one time, one of the most important things to me was my work. Oh, we had family and all that stuff, but you know, work, that was it. Things change. I recognized that I was focusing on the wrong thing. When God came in and changed me, family became important. When God came in and changed me, the things of the church became more important. You know, the Pharisees are not an uncommon image. Jesus has trouble with them all along. And oftentimes we don't understand what we're doing or saying when we're saying it. For many of us, we're all dressed up for Sunday, right? Got my tie on, got my suit jacket on. I'm all done. Sunday, I must be going to church, right? People see me in my car. Quick stories. Joshua gave me this first one. When he worked at Walmart, he could know right away who the people from church were who came through his register. Not just the way they looked, because they always dressed up and looked nice. But oftentimes, and this is unfortunate, they had bad attitudes. They came through his line and they were demanding. And they were rude about it. They came through his line and I wouldn't have called them Christian. They had the clothes, but their lives did not reflect the transformation that was supposed to have happened. Big deal. It's a big deal. Second story. This comes from Paul Morphy. He's not here today, so I can kind of change it a little bit and make it work for me. He told the story of being in line at a coffee kiosk one time, and the person in front of him ordered the coffees that they were going to get. And the lady that was serving was heavily tattooed and all this. And the guy who ordered the coffee said to her, "You can't be a Christian because you've got all these tattoos on yourself. God doesn't like that stuff." And he insulted her. Paul comes up after that and he said, "I really like your tattoos. They look good. It's good work." And he said, "By the way, I'm a Christian also. It's okay." How do we represent ourselves? You know, if we stick to the externals, what a mess, right? Because I can dress nice and be fancy and have clean clothes and look well at all times. But if I don't reflect the transformation that God has offered to me, if I don't say and do the things that bring that out, then who am I reflecting? I'm reflecting me. Oops. I don't think you want to see me all the time. Yeah, I don't think you do. That's a reality. One of the things I think that's very prevalent for all of us, it's so good, it's so wonderful, and that is social media. You can see things. I just love being able to see pictures on people's vacations, and I love some of the comments people have encouraging me, and just very scriptures that come up, and just wonderful thoughts. There's a downside. We can be clothed very nicely on social media. We can look very good, and all too often, I see some things that are horrifying from Christians, from people that I know who are Christians. What's going on? Are you transformed? When you were baptized, didn't the Holy Spirit come into your life? It came into mine. It changed me. I should be able to see that, especially in social media, especially there, because so many people see that. Do you spend a lot of time arguing on social media? I'm so sorry for you, but your priorities are goofed up. It's wrong. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work. Be kind. Be kind. It's hard. It's not fun. But being kind is so much more reflective of the God that we worship and the God that lives in us and the God that wants us to be good examples. Not just because we're examples, but because that gospel needs to get out. The world and the situation and the community we live in needs us to be listening, to be talking, and to be praying for them all the time. So, I've talked a little bit about where we are, what we're doing, how we're doing. And I know that not everything can happen overnight. But I will tell you this. Going into this new year, things are going to change. Sometimes it'll be little things. Sometimes you'll see small things. One of the things I want to tell you about is in the bulletin. It's just going to be different because it's a lot of work to create an article every week for things. And in the midst of this change, what we're going to do is we're going to put our schedule of worship on the front. But I want you to pay attention. That's not all that's going to change. We're going to start putting sections where we'll have testimonies from people. We're going to have people's stories. I want you to pay attention to that because we can learn a lot from reading about others who have become Christians and what it meant to them and how it's affected them. We're going to start seeing that. So what can we do? What can we actively, purposefully do? It's the very thing that I talked about this morning in Sunday school. I want you guys to be prayer warriors. I want you guys to be on your knees. I want you guys to be doing the thing that God has asked us to do and to do it first. Pray, pray, pray. Why? Because things don't happen in God's economy if we do not pray. God hears us and we can listen to God in prayer. What are you going to pray for? I want you to pray for the future of the church. Always pray for the future of the church. Very important. I want you to pray for the new minister and the family that'll be here because he needs to be getting ready and we want him to be prepared. So you need to pray for them. Pray for them in all things. And I need you to pray for us as a church, as a congregation, that we have the finances to get the kind of person that we need. We need that as well. Very important stuff. Now, of course, I want you to pile this on top of your regular prayers. But you can do that. You're tough. I've seen you. I've seen you in a lot of situations. And I want to thank you ahead of times for being this way, for being the people of prayer that you know you are and you know you need to be. I want to thank you for continuing to work and ask God to help and bless all of us. As you continue your prayer life, another reminder, we're on the cusp of a new year. And a new year is change, and a new year is good. This morning we've talked a little bit about what it means to be a Christian. We've talked a little bit about Jesus and what he's done. But here's the reality for all of us. If you've been sitting here waiting for that moment when it's just perfect for you to become a Christian, well, I've got news for you. It's right now. Now is a very good time. If you're interested in what this Jesus stuff is all about, talk to us. If you have needs or concerns, or if you want prayers for something in particular, now is a great time to come forward and ask for those things. Will you join us this morning as we have some songs?